Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. We love having you join us. We're so happy that you're here, and we have a great show planned for you today. But let's go ahead and take care of the dirty word of the day.
My computer just did a little flip-flop on me. My bad. It literally just, it did a blink. Well, let me just... No music.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, no music? Okay, so I'm going to sing.
Wait, hold on. Let me see if I can find something.
No, the dirty word of the day is related to the word we had last week, anthers. And so today's dirty word is pollen. Pollen is a powder from seed plants that carries male genetic material for reproduction. Each grain contains cells that will become sperm, protected by a tough layer called sporopollenin against harsh conditions. Pollen grains differ in color, size, shape, and features depending on the plant species, and they range from a size of 10 micrometers to over 100 micrometers. Pollen supports biodiversity and ecosystems. About 75% of global food crops rely on animal pollinators, mostly bees. Without them, crop yield and quality drop sharply. Wild pollinators continue roughly half of crop pollination services, boosting environmental health and resilience. Now, there are different types of pollination. One are the biotic agents, and that is insects, which is called entomophily. Bees, butterflies, moths, ants, and beetles transfer pollen in plant species such as sunflowers and water hyacinths. Bird pollination, which is called ornithophily. Hummingbirds and sunbirds pollinate flowers with bright colors and nectar. Example of plants, hibiscus, orchids, birds of paradise, and wildflowers. Chirotrophily is the pollination by bats at night. Nocturnal pollination often deals with white, fragrant flowers. Examples such as Oregon pipe cactus, agaves, mangoes, and guavas, and certain banana species. Now, an abiotic agent is a non-living way of pollinating. So that would be wind pollination, which is called anemophily. There you go. Sorry. Light free swinging pollen is carried by wind. Example, coconuts and palm trees and corn. Water pollination is called hydrophily, and this is pollen transported through the water. Common plants are eelgrass and hydrilla. And pollination promotes plant diversity, soil health, water retention, and honey production as bees collect pollen alongside the nectar. So the dirty word of the day is pollen. And it's so appropriate right now with all the allergies.
Here's my routine, okay, is that before I go to bed, obviously I take a shower, but before I go to bed, whenever I get out of the shower, I blow my nose, and then I use that, the saline nasal spray, just that. There's no medication added to it.
Yes.
And blow everything out. And then in the morning when I wake up, I still do whenever in the whole routine back over again, and just to try to help combat. Now, I use my other medications, too. My allergy medicine and whatnot, and the nasal sprays. But those are my two. That's the things that's helped me keep from getting sinus infections, and I'm not a doctor.
Yes.
But this is just what's worked for me.
Well, I've had a lot of clients over the last 2 months tell me they've had to do the same thing. And one of the things that if you are allergic to plants, and we can't always do this because Florida has so many plants and shrubs and trees, but get only purchasing female plants for your yard and landscape.
Wait, say that again?
Female plants.
Wait, how do we know? We look up at skirt.
Female plants are the ones that have the berries. Okay, that's how you can tell a female plant from a male plant.
Okay.
Now, sometimes, depending on the species, male plants will have the berries that has male and female in the one plant. It gets technical. Mm-hmm. But if you have the female plants, they won't have the pollen. Okay.
Got so you.
The male plants carry the pollen.
Okay. Hey, that's so, actually, that's that makes sense. I love the fact that your dirty word of the day fits in right with my nostril problems that I have. Thank you.
We are going to have a great show for you. We're going to take your phone calls at the bottom of the hour. It's going to be a great gardening week. This is National Gardening Day on Tuesday. We're going to celebrate that. But it's also National Gardening Week all week long and National Gardening Month for April. And also Water Conservation Month. April is a very big holiday celebration month for gardening. And one of the issues in our landscape is water. And that is the one that causes, you know, some of the issues, whether it's underwatering or overwatering, whether we're in a drought or, you know, facing a storm coming up that's going to drop, you know, 6 to 10 inches of rain in a day so that we have flooding. Water is very important here in Florida. And so it really is very important to know that we don't need to overwater. And a good indication that you're overwatering is that you have dollar weed in your yard. And Nikki had such a great example with the dollar weed. It's also called pennywort. But then there's also spider warts. We have different types of plants that are called warts, W-O-R-T. And those are usually found in wet areas. So I love the spiderwort. It's a beautiful, beautiful plant here, native plant here in Florida. So I appreciate that. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. April is recognized as Water Conservation Month in Florida, a designation made by the Florida section of the American Water Works Association in coordination with Florida's water management districts and the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. This month serves as a reminder for residents and businesses to conserve water, especially during the dry month of April. Cheryl Harris serves as the president of CRG, Inc., a company established over 35 years ago that delivers services to national, state, and local trade and professional associations with a primary focus on the construction industry. She is also the executive director of the Florida Irrigation Society, a role she's had for more than 13 years. In this capacity, Ms. Harris provides a guidance on irrigation matters to members and consumers at both local and state levels, and oversees the development and delivery of educational programs for contractors. I'd like to wish her a good morning. Thank you for joining us. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
It's a beautiful morning in Florida.
It is. Thank you for taking time out of your weekend. So tell us what the Florida Irrigation Society does.
The Irrigation Society, known as FIS, was established about 60 years ago, actually this year, by professional irrigators or contractors in the irrigation industry, along with manufacturers and distributors. And the main mission is to conserve Florida's water and to promote best practices in irrigation throughout the state of Florida, and to provide education to contractors and consumers.
Excellent. It's a great organization. So what should Floridians know about why water conservation matters?
I think it's probably pretty obvious that we can't live without water. And in Florida, it's a limited commodity. So we have to conserve it if we are able to at least provide for all of the residents and businesses that are here already, much less the growth that we're experiencing right now in the state. And we're kind of pushing the end of our water here if we're not conserving it with the additional growth that we've got. So it's really important to conserve what we have.
So what agencies do you work with?
There's a multitude of agencies that we work with. Some are on the political side, some are just kind of in the background and not political. Those include like the water utilities, the state water management districts, other trade associations who support water conservation in various forms. And we work with state and local regulatory bodies, the cities and counties, as well as with WaterStar, which is an important part.
I was part of the team that developed Florida WaterStar. I think it's very important. So legislation has been a topic over the last decade. And so how can legislation contribute to sustaining Florida's economic growth, as it regards to water conservation?
Sure. And it has been probably since the 60 years the FIS has been in existence. But part of the problem is that the state of Florida does not have legislation or any regulations that are consistent throughout the whole state. There's patches of ordinances at the local level, and some water management districts have some regulations, but it's not consistent enough that everybody knows what the rules are, which does not promote best practices. So that's why it's important that we try and get some type of legislation in so that we know how to install proper irrigation equipment. And some areas have no regulation whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And somebody like me could put in an irrigation system. I'm not the technical person. I'm the management side. So you don't want me putting in a system. And that's what's happening.
Yeah. Or people try and do their own repairs and put their irrigation systems in and they don't know what they're doing. So
that's how true, although they may be better than me.
I can appreciate that. And so how can builders and developers support water conservation?
Well, builders and developers have notoriously been on the side of we got to conserve our expenses mm-hmm. versus what's best practices for irrigation. So they put in a very basic system that may or may not be on the best practices side and conserve water, but they have a system in and they can say can promote it that way. We would really like to influence them to get on board with us so that they can support best practices and consistency throughout the state and how irrigation systems are installed.
I think that's so important because, especially in production homes, that, you know, the cost is the bottom line. They don't want to go, you know, over that bottom line that they need to produce homes. But they put emphasis on refrigerators. This refrigerator that's going to cost you, you know, $7,000 is only going to, you know, cost you $11 a year in electricity. And they really push these appliances and, you know, it's extra special parts of the home. And yet the irrigation system could cost the homeowner thousands of dollars a year in water bills, and they don't see the side to, you know, put in a proper irrigation system to help them conserve that money.
Very true. And then it's also going to start limiting their ability to develop because they can't get water permits to be able to build new developments. They are kind of running up against that. So it's in their best interest now to think about it.
So what do you say to, Florida residents that blame agriculture and recreation as for using too much water?
That's an interesting comment. I don't think I'd ever heard it, but...
Well, they talk about the golf courses. Yeah, the golf courses.
I'm sure. Part of the problem is that the residential side is probably the least informed about how to conserve water. You know, we set our controls and let it go, or if it's a day that we can water, we water as much as we can, whether we need it or not. What happens with the agriculture side and the recreational side, they have professionals overseeing all of their irrigation systems. They keep them tuned up. They make sure that they're not overwatering or underwatering and appropriate watering. So they're better prepared than we as homeowners are in terms of conserving water.
And they usually don't use potable water for that. Usually it's reclaimed or recycled or well water that they have right on their property. So
that's true. Although well water is still part of our ecosystem, and so it's still important not to drain all of our.
I agree with that. So how can homeowners know if they have an efficient irrigation system?
Well, one, we would recommend that if they're, particularly if they're on potable water, that they get a water audit. And if they've had their system in for, you know, 10, 20 years, likely all of the plantings have changed, mm-hmm. and they need to look at it and see if they're watering appropriately, efficiently. And there's new techniques out. Controls are different. So they could get an audit from a contractor. They could find somebody that is a certified water auditor, and also some of the water management districts and utilities are offering audit services just to check and see if their system is efficient or not.
And they can go on the Florida Water Star program and see certified irrigation people, professionals on there that will do audits for them as well, and that's floridawaterstar.com.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent.
Thank you for the reminder.
That's all right. No, that's great. So where can irrigation contractors for looking for the legislation that could be coming up next year, how can irrigation contractors and homeowners, Florida homeowners and voters, support legislation that will help make, keep the water priority in Florida?
It's surprising that a lot of our legislators are not aware that there are no regulations in place. It was kind of surprising this year that there was legislation on the table. Didn't go too far. There was some issues with the wording in the legislation. We'll try again next year. But they were surprised. So I think the homeowners that are aware and understand the importance of water conservation and the legislation, that they talk to their local legislators and inform them. And say, hey, we're interested in this. We really want you to take a look at it.
In the long run, it's going to save everybody money, and it's also going to save our water supply, and that's the important part. Where can homeowners and irrigation contractors find out more information about Florida Irrigation Society and also an efficient irrigation system?
They could go to www.fisstate.org. That is our website, and it also has our phone numbers on it. They could call and talk to us if they want additional referrals to certified auditors, and also you've got WaterStar. But they could go to our website, and they can pull down a pamphlet that's there looking at, you know, what kind of contractor, what kind of questions you should ask if you're getting an irrigation system installed. So that should help as well.
And the website again is?
www.fisstate.org.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. Your position, your help to all of these providers and resources and associations is so important. The Florida Irrigation Society is a very worthwhile organization. Thank you so much for taking your time to come on today. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you for the invitation.
All right, hon. Take care. So that's Cheryl Harris. She is the executive director of the Florida Irrigation Society. And you can go on their website to see more information. You can also go to floridawaterstar.com, all one word, floridawaterstar.com. It talks about landscaping. It talks about irrigation systems. It talks about indoor water conservation, too, as well. It's a very important program. And it's there for homeowners and also commercial contractors, too, as well. And if you have a Florida Water Star certified home, you know you're doing the best thing you can for Florida's water resources. And so it's very important, and anyone can do it. The landscapes that I design always qualify and can be certified as water saving, and a very water conservation is important. Thank you so much to Cheryl Harris. I certainly appreciate it. We're going to be back with your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967. You can text 23680, and we'll be right back if it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer, garden author. I love to help people with their gardens. I also take people to beautiful gardens around the world. If you're interested in traveling with me, you can check out all of our garden tours on artinbloomgardentours.com. artinbloomgardentours, one word, .com. And we have some wonderful trips coming up to the Newport Flower Show and Martha's Vineyard, and then also to Buffalo to the largest garden walk in the United States. It is the most fabulous garden tour. Zero lot line homes with beautiful residential gardens. You will get inspiration galore. We also visit Niagara Falls on the Canadian side. Then we're going to France in August and visit villas and chateaus, beautiful gardens. And in September, we are going to the beautiful Brandywine Valley, Chanticleer, Longwood, Winterthur, and visit some gorgeous private gardens too as well. And last but not least, we're going to spend the month of October, not the month, but a tour in October to New Orleans to check out the beautiful ethereal gardens for Halloween.
This is so exciting. I'm so excited for you. But while you are out here gallivanting across the world, Tom McCubbin will be filling
Tom
in for you.
Tom is going to fill in. He is so good and kind and generous, and he's the plant doctor.
Yes.
And he is going to be filling in. So I'm not worried. So,
no, not at all.
And we're going to have a great time. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Let's go to one of my favorite people in Polk City, Eileen. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. How did your African violets? You don't have them outside. I have my African violets in a kind of terrarium outside, and they did not do well this winter.
No, they're doing fine. I have a light, one of those lights.
Yes, yes, the heat lamps.
Yep, I sure do.
And that works. Okay.
Yeah, and on one of them, I have like 4 new babies coming up.
Oh, that's okay. You've inspired me. Okay, I'm going to work on them this weekend and get some going. All right. Yeah. So, how can I help you?
Well, I have a story to tell you.
Okay.
And we have a squirrel that's kind of wacky.
Okay.
He got up on the front porch. He got up on the screen.
Oh no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And he traveled along the screen door, and then I got my broom out. And I'm like, you're going to get down. Well, he didn't get down. He traveled all along the path of the front screen.
Oh, no.
And then I went outside and chased him.
Okay.
And the hunt was on.
Oh, goodness.
And then Granger got out.
Oh,
which
no.
Which was not what I needed. But he did chase him up the pole.
Oh, good.
So we have tin now up on the bird feeders.
Oh.
So he can't get up there. But I went and took a cup of bird seed over by the pole so he won't get up on the bird feeders or on the screens anymore. So I'm going to get peanuts for him.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to spoil him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so here's one thing I want you to think about. Okay. So that he kept traveling along the screen when you had the broom. And were you hitting the screen?
No.
No, you weren't hitting it. Okay.
No.
So you got to be concerned when a wild animal is not afraid of you or comes close into areas that they shouldn't be in.
Yes.
Because of rabies. And we do have rabies in the area for Central Florida right now. So be careful when you go out with your broom that they don't turn on you or that they're not afraid. So,
oh, no, I was inside.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, good. So I heard the rooster.
Yeah. I should get the roosters after.
There you go.
But I don't think. But when I put seed out, Let me tell you something. The chicks come out and eat it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, thank you so much for your story, Eileen. I'm so glad. Thank you for the advice on the African violets. And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much, hon. Let's go to Carrie in Melbourne. Good morning, Carrie. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. I am a long time listener, but a very infrequent caller. I have a question regarding a Nepenthe.
Okay.
They're commonly called pitcher plants. And I've been trying to grow them outdoors.
Okay.
They get, I would say, 5 hours of sunlight between the morning and afternoons. I know they need a lot of light. Mm-hmm. I have a Florida room that doesn't have sufficient light on
right.
it. I was wondering if they will flourish outdoors.
Yes, they will. In full sun, they will do very well. Okay,
oh, really?
You just got to make sure they have the water supply that they need. Okay, and they do very well outside. Nepenthes.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's where they grow, outside.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Teresa.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening all those years. I certainly appreciate it.
Oh, I love it. And I'm a subscriber to your newsletter and everything. I think you're wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much.
You and Lizzie are great.
Oh, thanks.
They made us our week. Okay. Thank you so much, Carrie.
I love whenever we have listeners who call in and they've listened for years, but they just now give us a call. So I love that. That makes me so happy.
It does. We'd love to hear from more. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. So, again, this is Water Conservation Month. So, this is a good month for checking your irrigation system. Make sure you're not watering the sidewalk. Cement does not grow better when it is watered. And also, too, you want to make sure that you're watering enough, that you have a rain shutoff device on your irrigation system, which means, now I don't mean timer, I mean rain shutoff device that turns your irrigation system off when we've had enough rain. So it should be set for 1.5 inches of water. And then when we get 2 to 3 inches of water, then your irrigation system will not come on. If you only get 1/16 of an inch, yeah, it's still going to come on even if you had rain. So don't worry about that. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Better Lawns and Gardens and Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you have a gardening question, we'd love to hear from you. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. This is the month to be growing vegetables, but you want to make sure tomatoes and your peppers and your eggplants, you need to use transplants. Don't be planting seeds right now for those, because by the time the tomatoes are ready to produce fruit, it's going to be too hot. Only use transplants right now, and then you can harvest the fruit all the way through June, July. Now, if you want to plant cherry tomatoes or Everglades tomatoes, those will produce fruit all year round. So you can go ahead and use those. With your fruit trees, your banana trees, cut them down if they're all brown. I planted about 5 banana trees yesterday, and they had a couple of stalks that were completely all brown. Go ahead, you can cut those off and let the new pups, the new suckers at the bottom of the bananas, you know, start to grow. You can also, too, the new growth on citrus. You're growing citrus trees. You need to make sure that you are not getting the citrus psyllid on the plants or leaf miner. And what you need to do is you need to spray neem oil, and I recommend Neem 85, which is a Summit Responsible Solutions product, and it's excellent. Spray it at each new growth, and that's going to keep the insects down, and you will be able to keep your citrus tree healthy. Each new flush of new growth, new leaves, go ahead and spray with Neem 85, and it will be just fine. Also, too, you want to make sure that you are starting your sweet potatoes. Okay, so you start your sweet potatoes, your eyes, so that you can do transplants in May. You can apply a minor nutrient spray to your citrus trees, too, as well, at the each new flush of growth. And then also, too, you can plant tropical vegetables that don't mind that summer heat. And we're talking about the spinaches, the Asian spinaches, also Malabar spinach. Those will do very well in the heat. And also the Caribbean fruits and vegetables like the chayote and or Mexican, the ones with the southern from the southern hemisphere that can they don't mind the heat. Also, too, you want to feed your vegetable plantings every 3 to 4 weeks. And then you can also use a slow-release fertilizer. Your blueberries, my blueberries, Lizzie, are my plants are full of berries. Ooh. I am so excited. I am going to have it. And I'm not telling the birds or anything coming through that I have them. Okay. But they're doing very well. You want to make sure you're planting them with acidic soil, acidic pH. You can use Espoma, a soil acidifier, to lower the pH to 4.5 to 5.5. That's very important. You can also, right now, if you're doing papayas and you've got seedlings, you can plant those in the landscape, too, as well. And so this is just a great time, National Gardening Month. You can go ahead and connect with nature. It's a good time to introduce children to gardening too as well.
Definitely. And you know, the what I've done in the past is I find out what they like. So like one of our grand brats, we call him 715, he loves pickles. I'm like, do you know where pickles come from? He's like, ah, no. So the last couple of years we've been kind of growing pickles,
cucumbers.
There you go.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't know there's seeds out there that are pickle seeds? Anyway. So we've been growing cucumbers. We haven't made it to the canning process yet because they either get eaten, and we only get them like every other weekend. So it doesn't work out always perfectly. But we're working so hard this time to make sure that he can actually can them and make his own pickles. So
That's going to be so cool. He will love that.
Yes. And also, he's ADHD. But he also is kind of OCD to a point. So he really does like to go out, and he helped me weed our garlic and our onions, which we have a lot of. And I just hadn't had time to get around to it this last week. And he loves it because like the one sprig of grass that he pulls out by the root, it actually has like two nodules or uh-huh. three nodules. He's like, I got three this time. I'm like, you go, boy. I bet there's one in there with four. Just keep on digging.
Oh, good for him. That's great to introduce them to that. And also, doing the pickles will get them to cook. You know, it'll introduce them to cooking.
Yes, yes. And I do little projects with him and his brother. So, yeah, definitely.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. And so we want to thank all of our callers today. Thank you so much for calling in and texting your messages and for the photographs. If you'd like to get a hold of me, you can go to betterlawns.com and send me an email through that or notification I'll get, and I'll respond to you, and I would love to hear from you. Also, too, you can please go to our Facebook page and like it and give us 5 stars. We do enjoy it, and we also get messages through Facebook too as well.
Yes, definitely.
And I'm getting a lot of questions on. I have Ken in Winter Haven. He's saying he has the same issue with his avocado. That is sprouting. I'm sorry. Yes. He's got several plants that have gone through the winter and they're sprouting out from the bottom. And what should they do? Well, that's a decision on how big the trunk is, how big the plant is. So, and it will depend on the species. If it's a grafted species, like your citrus trees are grafted, you want to cut the suckers off below the graft and see if it will sprout back out from the top. If it's an avocado, it may be an avocado that is not grafted, but anything that is grafted, you want to make sure you remove the suckers from the bottom. And then if it's a tall tree, 20 to 30 foot tall, I would suggest calling an arborist to come check it out because it still may be growing and it's just taking a long time to produce the leaves. The leaves should start to drop off, But I tell you, if they don't with the next storm, did you hear about our hurricane season?
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a joy.
It does. But it does, seems like it's not going to be too bad. El Nino is starting, and that's going to keep them down.
However, that's one second that they say that, and that's whenever. Because, I mean, they predicted last year where we were supposed to have 100,000 hurricanes. Not really, but.
And we didn't have any.
No, by the grace of God, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Literally. But we were kind of suffered because of the drought.
The drought, exactly. We do need the tropical storm rains. We do. And so we can't pray them off. We need them. You want to finish your granular spring feedings of all your fruit trees right now. You want to get them fertilized before the heat of the season and so they can start producing fruit. And then also, too, again, check your irrigation systems. It's so important. Check to make sure you have a mandatory. If you have an automatic irrigation system, you have to have a rain shutoff device. Open up your timer. It will say, water shutoff. And you can manage it, turn your timer on and off with that. And the rain shutoff device is in there, too. And make sure it's working. And if it's not working, you need to replace the cork or whatever it is that you need to replace to get it back working again. You have to have a working rain sensor. That is a state law on all automatic irrigation systems. And it's just for your benefit. You don't want to pay a large water bill. You don't want to use the irrigation when it's not necessary. And the more you use it, the more likely your plants are going to have fungus and disease issues and insect issues.
Yes,
so,
definitely.
You know, water conservation, landscaping, it all works. You don't want to, you want to have it based just on rainfall. And if you have vegetables, then sometimes you need to, fruit trees, you need to use the irrigation system. But then you want to do it efficiently when you do need it.
Did you answer the text from Rick B. about the orange tree?
No, I didn't see it. Where is it?
It says, hi, Teresa. I have a lanky orange tree that is approximately 10 to 12 foot tall. Is it okay to top the tree? It's about 4 years old, and I live in Havana, Florida.
Okay. Yes, it's okay to top it, and I would do that right now as you're coming into the spring season. If you top it off, you're not going to get flowers at the top of it, but you'll have flowers on the rest of the tree. So if it's something that you want to be able to reach, you want to keep it tall, that would be fine. I wouldn't top it off, which means I wouldn't cut it straight across. I would just cut the branches individually and make sure you cut right above a node. Okay, don't cut below the node on the stem. So find a branch area, cut right above it, and cut it diagonally, and it'll be just fine. Yep, you can cut those. You can cut trees back any time that you have an issue, like if it's too big, if it's going to hit somebody, if it's going the branches are going the wrong way. You can cut those branches back any time. Just realize that when you cut it back, it's not going to have flowers or fruit probably the next year. Now, next season it will, but not this year. So if it's an issue, you can do that. We'd like to thank Nikki Monroe from Indian River County. She is the environmental horticultural agent down there. She had some great advice on watering efficiently. We do appreciate her coming on. And then also Cheryl Harris with the Florida Irrigation Society. She's the executive director. And her important words, please support water conservation legislation next year. It's very important. Talk to your local politicians, your local chamber of commerce about promoting water conservation through legislation. It's very, very important. Thank you, Lizzie. You always do such a fabulous job.
Thank
you are my guru, my genius. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to our listeners. We have the best listeners. Not only do you call and your text, but you also make us laugh in the process.
Thank you so much. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you would like to recap any of the show or any other shows, go to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.